three things. The final frontier.
The revolution will be broadcast.
So, how you doing?
How you doing?
There is a fine line between genius and
three things.
Hey, kids!
There's a touch of madness around.
Three things.
Well, welcome back, partner.
Greetings and hello, fellow Earth babies. Today is Monday, May 8th, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the second show of the second season of Three Things. And I'm super stoked to share my pick of three things with you this week. I hope that you enjoy them, as well as the guad and the to-do, and a couple other little doodads I've tossed into the salad mix. Let's do this thing, shall we? Let's kick off the show with thing number one for today. So did you know that during the Great Depression in the USA, hundreds of thousands of people kept themselves from starvation by eating the planes? I just said planes so that everything rhymes in this episode because I'm odd like that and it's my show. What I mean when I say they ate the planes is that they ate wild food. They gathered and they hunted and they fished. And the knowledge that was passed down to them from their antecedents kept them alive. It's so sad that these days most of that knowledge can only be found in books, but at least there's that. When you perambulate the park of an evening, you are probably passing wild food after wild food without even thinking about it. If you've ever been lucky enough to catch a fish and fry it up right there on the shore and stick it in your face, or picked a big old fat blackberry off a bush and stuck it in your face, then you've eaten wild. Imagine slashing your grocery bill with wild eating. People do it all the time. And it could also save your life. You never know what's going to happen, especially in this present world. Grocery stores are so great to have around, but they could absolutely stop being available one day, blink of an eye, due to any number of reasons. Here's the thing though. If shit ever does hit the fan, having a working knowledge of what you can safely eat or even use as medicine without having to do more than go suss out some plants will probably keep you and your loves alive. Survival situations aside, wild food can offer some pretty awesome health benefits as well. Not having a bunch of chemicals or fertilizers or other stuff is one good thing. Another is that wild foods, like for instance blueberries, have more of the stuff that makes them good for us. There are numerous instances where wild foods are actually way more nutritious than their cultivated counterparts. This likely has to do with their inherent defense strategies, like for instance, the gimpy gimpy and rosary peas from last week's show, but these do it in a good way, not so murdery a way. See what I did there? A little toss back to last week's show. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty cool. Now, I'm not saying to blaze willy-nilly out the front door and start grabbing up the nearest passing animal or green thing. No, don't do that. One must have a care, or three, when gathering and hunting. A little solid knowledge goes a long, long way. When you realize that this planet of ours teems with good food, wild food, available food, and best of all, free food, you also have to realize that safety and smarts are paramount to wild eating done properly. In the US, where I live, there are many edible animals like numerous ocean, lake, and river fish, goose, ducks, turkeys, elk, deer, pig, just to name a few. If you plan to hunt though, you must know that pre-planning and knowing what you're doing is super important. And you must understand that you have to field dress the meat, which you have to have a fairly strong stomach to do. You also must, at all costs, avoid cross-contamination and ensure safe storage at a temperature that is going to keep that meat fresh until you can freeze it, preserve it, or eat it. The array of vegetables and fruits which grow naturally and untended in so many places is kind of mind-boggling. Lots of berry bushes produce edible fruit like muscadines, grapes, gooseberries like that. Apple and pear and cherry and plum and pawpaw and other trees grow wild and make lovely fruits. Mushrooms literally line the floors of forests across the planet, like over 2,000 medicinal and edible varieties, so have great care with mushrooms because if you eat the wrong ones, you could be pretty fucked. Got weeds in the yard or garden? Guess what? You can eat a lot of them. Instead of paying outrageous prices for microgreens and shit from the grocers, just pick some poke or sorrel or purslane and have a nice, natural, delicious, free salad. Many wild-growing roots are also edible and can even be turned into flowers for baking bread. Did you know that you can pretty much eat cattails? Like most of a cattail you can eat. Crazy, right? Grows everywhere. So many trees have edible nuts, and they grow everywhere. You just have to look up. Then look down to find wild onions and other herbs and things like cactus pads or nopales, which are so delicious. And they grow all over the place in southern reaches, even in urban areas. If you do decide to jump on the wild eating wagon, just keep in mind that you really have to have proper knowledge. Be utterly certain of what you're about to stick in your face, and if you're not sure, just don't eat it. And when you are sure about what you're about to eat, for the love of Mike, wash it first. Things poop, and you don't want to eat poop, because that's gross. Of course, there are many places which regulate what or how much a person can harvest, so always check to make sure you're allowed to harvest. I personally don't think that should even be a thing because the earth belongs to each and every one of us, but that's an argument for another day. If you're going to fish or hunt, same thing applies. Some government asshole wants to know what you're doing and wants to charge you for it. Which I guess is still worth it because those funds are intended to keep wild things wild and upkept, so I guess that's fine. But check regulations and get a license as and if you must. In the developed world, which can far too rapidly become undeveloped, by the way, wild eating isn't looked to as a primary nutrition source, but it should be. Eating locally sourced wild foods can reduce harm to the natural world that we depend on because processing and moving food makes just an awful mess. Wild foods add wonderful variety and higher nutrient value to a diet. I guess what I'm saying is get a book or a learned foraging friend, go out into the world and eat it. No one has guessed so far this strange sound from the show last week. So the mystery remains. Now one of two things will occur. One, someone will guess it, and I super hope that happens. Or two, I'll tell y'all what it is in a few weeks' time. I have to get plenty of time for guesses after all. In the meantime, here's a new one. What is this sound? Leave your guess in the comments or email me at 3thingspod@gmail.com. Number 3 word thingspod@gmail.com. This is fun. I look forward to your guesses. And now for the That's TDIH, This Day in History. It's May 8th. If any living person deserves to have a happy birthday, it is English broadcaster, brilliant writer, and world-renowned naturalist, Sir David Attenborough. He was born on this day in history, in the year 1926. And for the greater number of the years he's been on the planet, he has spoken out and acted for the most important thing we Earthlings have, our natural domain. The person who wrote the book which grabbed me by the brain cells, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, and the reason I write, love sci-fi, and read voraciously, died on May 8th in 1988. I would have it that I could thank him personally, but I can't, so I'll do it here. Thank you for everything, Mr. Robert Anson Heinlein. Also on this day in history, but in 1945, it was VE Day. That's Victory in Europe Day, the day that World War II ended in Europe when Germany signed an unconditional surrender, beginning the ending of that great historical stain. In the year 535, Catholic Pope John II died, ending his reign. 1864 saw severe fighting near Dalton, Georgia, USA, marking the bloody start of the Atlanta Campaign. 1886 was a wonderful 8th day of May that saw Jacob's Pharmacy in Atlanta, Georgia, selling the first Coca-Cola, which contained cocaine. In 1909, a world record marathon was run in 2 hours, 46 minutes, 4.6 seconds in New York City by American Albert Raines. May 8, 1919 was the first transatlantic flight takeoff by a Navy seaplane. In 1925, just starting a stellar career which resulted in many changes in the USA, labor leader and civil rights activist A. Philip Randolph founded the nation's first major black labor union, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, or BSCP, making it far more fair to work on a train. In 1942, a Japanese attack sent the aircraft carrier USS Lexington to the depths of the bounding Maine. 1541 saw Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto discover the mighty and beautiful Mississippi River, which is right down the street from me, part of it anyway, not the whole river, it's big. Hernando was from Spain. In 1974, the 50 mile per hour speed limit was lifted across Britain. Britain, have to make it rhyme. And last, but not least, on this day in history, in 1980, the World Health Organization announced that the eradication of smallpox had been attained. And this here thing is thing number 2 for today. One of the biggest things in my life. If I didn't have the ability to do this thing, well, I cannot imagine what life, mine or anyone's, would be like. It's the most simple thing, a thing humans are born with the innate ability to do, a thing we even have areas of our brain to use to do it. It is one of the reasons I do this show. It's laughing, and it's just the best thing, wouldn't you agree? Laughter is one of the strongest medicines I can think of as well, applicable to so many problems and ailments and in so many ways. And methinks, in this modern world of healthcare and the inability of just way too many people to avail themselves of it, laughter is the least expensive, most readily accessible, and most available medicine on earth. Although cannabis is pretty darn good too, in, you know, my humble estimation. I love to laugh. I love others' laughter. I consider it the greatest thing in the world if I can make someone laugh. Even a little smile, really, but If I get a real laugh from someone, I count it, I hug it, I cherish it, I make it a part of myself. I think a lot of people grow up and laugh less, and I don't know why. When I was a kid, I laughed a lot, and I'll tell you what, I laugh a lot now, even in the worst of times, and I've had a fuckload of those. I found places to insert laughter. If I hadn't, I don't know where I might be right now. Did you know that even if you force laughter or even listen to canned laughter, it does things in your brain to help you feel better, even without you knowing it? And laughter is contagious. That's why TV sitcoms use laugh tracks, because hearing someone laugh makes one more likely to laugh. When I say that laughter is the best medicine, I mean it with every molecule in my body. Laughing relaxes your entire body, helping to lessen physical stress and tension, and it leaves one relaxed for up to 45 minutes. Your immune system need a boost? Then laugh. The stress hormones will be decreased, your infection-fighting antibodies and immune cells will increase, and your resistance to disease will be bolstered. One study found that laughing for about 15 minutes a day can even help you burn off around 40 calories. Now that's not going to replace leg day at the gym, but it could help you lose 3 to 4 pounds as a year goes by. And I'm not mad at that. Laughing triggers the release of endorphins. That's the little guys that make you feel good naturally. It can temporarily lessen physical pain and give you an overall sense of well-being. Did you know that the simple and beautiful act of laughing can actually protect your heart? Yeah. Laughing increases blood flow while improving the function of your blood vessels, and that can aid in protecting you from cardiovascular problems and even heart attack. You know, anger and stress are bad for your heart, so having the ability or even making the conscious decision to laugh can help diffuse anger and help you move on from conflicts that are pissing you off. Imagine that. People who laugh on the regular also tend to live longer lives. There are ways, if you don't think you laugh enough, to bring laughter into your life. It's super duper easy. Try asking someone what the funniest thing is that's happened to them lately. Watch a stupid or funny movie. Go hit up a comedy club, that's so fun. You could read a funny book, or the comics, or a straight up joke book. Joke books are fun, like little kid joke books, they make me giggle. Pets are always good for a lovely snuggle, and there's always a laugh in there somewhere. Act silly. It literally cannot kill you to be silly. I do it all the time. So did my beautiful mama. This crazy lady would, at a big ol' age, ditch us adult kids in the grocery store, then hide by an end cap or shelf, trying not to giggle like an idiot, thereby giving herself away, and jump scare us. And we would laugh. And it was glorious, and it was good for us. I miss that a lot. You know, you can put a toy that you love where you can see it. I have toys on my desk, and in my Jeep, and in my purse, and everywhere else I can think of. Toys I've had my whole life. Toys which bring me great joy, and just the fondest of memories, just to remind me that I am still a child, at least on the inside. And you know what else? Just lighten up. Laugh at yourself, even if you're embarrassed. Embarrassment is okay to feel, and if it feels too hard, just try to remember something someone else did that was embarrassing for them. It's harder than you might think, so maybe that'll help you get over your own embarrassment. Because embarrassment is really usually quite fleeting. And when something's horrible or you watch the news, which can be depressing as all fuck, instead of getting all head up about it, look for the humor in whatever bad situation there is. Look for the absurdity, look for the irony that are rife in life. Ooh, I'm going to say this, and I hope everyone listens with both ears. Laughing is good, and it starts with just a smile. Like laughter, smiling is also contagious. If something pleases you, smile at it. If you pass a person, smile at them. Get your face out of your phone and look at people. Don't be creepy. Don't be creepy. Just smile and nod. It may change their entire day. And I'm positive that that small act will change yours. I can never and would never and don't want to ever go a day without laughing. I find a way to find that inner child who dwells within us all, even the stuffiest, most curmudgeonly among us, and I let that baby out to play. Here's the very best thing about smiling and laughing, though. It makes every single one of us instantly beautiful. I'm just saying. The grandiloquent word of the day today is maybe not so grandiloquent, but it isn't a very everyday use word, methinks. But I like it, and it fits with the rhyming theme that I have no idea why I'm doing it with this show, but here we are. The word is bromelain. It is a noun, and it is pronounced bromelain. Yes, I dragged it out a bit to make stuff rhyme. My show, my rules. Bromelain is a proteolytic enzyme obtained from pineapples. Used in a sentence, pineapple contains bromelain, which is an enzyme which breaks down protein, which we are made of. So pineapple is a fruit which, when you eat it, it eats you back. And now for thing number three. This past weekend has been a very difficult one for me. I lost one of the bestest boys ever born on the planet, my best buddy for 19 years and a couple of months, my sweet Schwarzenkatze, Pierre. I'm broken, but that isn't the story here. The story begins with the trip to have Pierre cremated and the meeting of a brilliantly human man named Scott. Scott was the fellow who respectfully took Pierre from me, took care of Pierre for me, and was waiting to very gently return my sweet Pierre to me. As is his way, I can tell these things about people, it's in the eyes. Scott was more than compassionate, sweeter than sunrise, gentler than a foggy mist, and willing to stand and talk a moment before I got in the Jeep for mine and Pierre's last trip, making our journeys together hit the about the 25,000 mile mark. He was the best buddy. So of course I was needing humanity, however loath I am to ask for it. So Scott and I talked for a bit. We covered quite a few subjects, seeming to become fast friends in a very short time, which led to him talking about his mom with his eyes sparkling in the most wonderful way. He told me that his 95-year-old mom, had been getting a bit grumpy, having a little trouble sleeping well, and not eating like she had. He felt that he was watching her decline. Again, when he spoke of his mother, his eyes, they just shone with the most beautiful, heartening love. He said that she had begun drinking a bit at night to help her sleep, but had never been a really good drinker, so she didn't do it quite right. They took her to her doctor and informed Doc of Mom's having a bit of a drinky poo before bed strategy, which Doc immediately poo-pooed as being unhelpful. The subject of gummies was then introduced into the conversation, and Doc said that sounded like a good idea. Dutifully, children of Mom went and got her some gummies. I'm talking the cannabis-type gummies, just for your edification. Mom started having a gummy snack at night. Mom started sleeping well. Mom started eating better. Mom was no longer a grumpy boots. To put it into Scott's own words, as he told me this story, he brings her breakfast every morning, which is wonderful. And on one particular morning, after Mom had been having her night-night gummy snackies for a little bit, his sweet mom looked better than she had in quite some time. He said he was literally stricken still when he saw his mom this morning, and all he could say was, "Mom, you look beautiful." If I could bottle the look in his kind and sparkly eyes as he relayed this moment to me, I could sell it for a good chip of $1 million an ounce. And that, my friends, is just one of the myriad things that makes cannabis more than just a good buzz giver. It's also, in so many instances, a life changer. The power of the natural blessing of the cannabis plant gave a 95-year-old woman a literal new lease on life. And it gave her son, whom she had obviously raised to be a brilliant human being, one of the sweetest smiling memory moments I've thus far in my life had the honor to witness. I hope he understood how freaking serious I was when I told him what a pleasure it had been to meet him and to hear him and his mom's story. I'm going to tell more cannabis stories as these shows go on because it is super important in my humble estimation to make everyone I possibly can understand what a wonderful thing cannabis is and in how many ways it is wonderful. And I want to thank Scott once again for making me smile and even laugh, because we laughed some good laughs, and we all know how important laughter is. Well, that's my things of three for this week. Remember, you can email me to leave a comment, guess the odd sound thingy, suggest a thing, or whatever you want, at threethingspod@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the show page, threethings.podomatic.com. That's the number three, the word things, .podomatic.com. I look very, very, very super forward to talking with new friends, you know? Even if I'm actually super shy. Like, follow, share, and subscribe. Heck, buy me a cup of coffee if you got a little entertained or enlightened or enlaughened. I know it's not a real word. Whatever, I don't care. The link to grab me a cuppa is super simple. It's ko-fi.com/ the number three, the word things. I like my coffee black, hot, and sweet. Just saying. Maybe a little cannabis infusion in there, you know. Any hoozles, in conclusion, it's coming at ya. I ask a simple thing of you. Look into any mirror, any nearby mirror, unless you're actively driving or something. Don't do that. But otherwise, catch yourself with your eyeballs. Get serious now. And forgive whatever you need to forgive yourself for on this day, and be happy. Good day, y'all.
That was so thrilling.
Missed it by that much.
Happy trails, Spaz.
Yada, yada, yada. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people.
Three Things
Incorporated.
Done, sold, Bob's your uncle.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Now it's your turn.
Make love and be merry, for tomorrow you may catch some disgusting skin disease.
Goodbye, good luck, and good riddance.
With ye, Nessie.
There comes a time in every friendship when you have to say, I never liked you, get lost.
All right, that's it for me. You've been great.
Help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Bye-bye.